Chapter 13. Some more questions I'd like to ask. Some people say that the Sabbath has been changed. Others don't worry about keeping any day holy. How about that, Sister White? Some urge that it is of no consequence whether we keep the Sabbath or not. But we say that it is a matter of great importance. Had it not been important, God would not have wrought to deliver his people from Egyptian bondage. It was because he saw they could not obey his commandments in their servitude that he revealed his mighty arm in bringing them into a place where they could serve him. When they came to Sinai, Christ and the Father, standing side by side upon the mount, with solemn majesty proclaimed the Ten Commandments, placing in the very center the Sabbath command. Again and again the Lord told the people that if they would keep his Sabbath, he would take them to himself to be his chosen people. And again, sorrow and shame were brought upon them because they failed to keep it. He also told them that the Sabbath should be a sign between him and them forever, that they might know that he was the Lord their God. We want to know the truth, the whole truth, as it is in Jesus. All we need to know is the will of the Master. He says, "Go forward." We should obey, even though the Red Sea were before us. I like to sleep in on Sabbath morning. It is a sad failing with many that they are always behind time on Sabbath morning. They are very particular about their own time. They cannot lose an hour of that. But the Lord's time, the only day out of the seven that the Lord claims as his, is squandered away by sleeping late in the morning. In this, they are robbing God. It causes them to be behind in everything. Now, why can't we not rise early with the birds and offer praise and thanksgiving to God? Try it. Have your preparations all made the day before. Come promptly to Sabbath school and meeting, and you will reap rich blessings for yourselves. There are many children who plead a lack of time as a reason why their Sabbath school lessons are not learned. But there are but few who could not find time to learn their lessons if they had an interest in them. Sometimes it's hard to behave and be quiet for so long in church. Children should be made to know and understand where they are, that they are not at home, but where God meets with his people. And they should be kept quiet and free from all play, and God will turn his face toward you to meet with you and bless you. The home is a school where all may learn how they are to act in the church. The angels of God will help you to make your family a model of the heavenly family. Let there be peace in the home, and there will be peace in the church. How should I dress when I go to church? All should be neat, clean, and orderly in their dress. There should be no display of the apparel. The attention of the people is often called to this or that fine article of dress, and thus thoughts are intruded that should have no place in the hearts of the worshipers. God is to be the subject of thought, the object of worship. The parading of bows and ribbons, ruffles and feathers, and gold and silver ornaments is a species of idolatry. Some receive the idea that they must be neglectful of their apparel. These persons assemble with God's people upon the Sabbath with their clothing dusty and soiled, and even with gaping rents in their garments, which are placed upon their persons in a slovenly manner. These persons think that it is no matter in what dress they appear when they meet upon the Sabbath to worship the great God. What can I do on Sabbath besides go to church? The parents may take their children outdoors to view God in nature. They can be pointed to the blooming flowers and the opening buds, the lofty trees and beautiful spires of grass, and taught that God made all these in 6 days and rested on the seventh day and hallowed it. We are not to teach our children that they must not be happy on the Sabbath, that it is wrong to walk out of doors. Oh no. Christ led his disciples out by the lakeside on the Sabbath day and taught them. His sermons on the Sabbath were not always preached within enclosed walls. It isn't only on Sabbath that my parents worry about my clothes. Does it really matter how I dress? In dress, as in all things else, it is our privilege to honor our Creator. He desires our clothing to be not only neat and healthful, but appropriate and becoming. There is a class who think it a virtue to be dirty and dress without order and taste, and their clothing often looks as if it flew and lit upon their persons. It keeps my mother busy doing the washing, ironing, and mending for our family. The young should form correct habits in dress. They should be taught to keep their garments clean and neatly mended. All their habits should be such as to make them a help and comfort to others. Is it wrong to have nice clothes?
Our clothing, while modest and simple, should be of good quality, of becoming colors, and suited for service. It should be chosen for durability rather than display. When you devote precious time to trimming your apparel, remember that the King of Glory wore a plain, seamless coat. Please bear in mind that Jesus was often weary from toil and self-denial and self-sacrifice to bless the suffering and the needy. It was to save us from pride, which crowds out the love of Jesus, that those tears were shed.
Why can't children do as they please? Children who are allowed to have their own way are not happy. Do you believe in punishing children? Sometimes they will have to be punished, but never in such a way that they will feel that they have been punished in anger. What can I do to be really happy? Those who are always busy and who cheerfully go about their daily tasks are the most happy and enjoy the best health. What do you think is the most important lesson children must learn? One of the first lessons a child needs to learn is the lesson of obedience. Why do older people always talk to me about my habits? We shall be what our habits make us. The lives of those who form right habits will be as shining lights, shedding bright beams upon the pathway of others. But if neglectful habits are allowed, a cloud darker than midnight will settle and forever debar from future life. Why is our church so small compared with other churches? In the time of the flood, nearly all the inhabitants of the world thought that they were right and that Noah was wrong. They claimed that they knew more than that faithful servant of God, and thus closed their ears to words of truth, and darkness came upon them. They explained to the people the foolishness of Noah's statement that a rain would come upon the earth when no signs of such had ever existed. God's message was to come to them through Noah, but they laughed and mocked at his words and said, "Does he not speak in parables?" But their unbelief did not prevent the flood, and they finally drank the waters that covered the earth. We do not want to be like them. We must not be discouraged if there are only a few that believe the present truth. It is not the great numbers that follow Christ. In answer to the question, "Are there few that be saved?" the reply was, "Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Matthew 7, verse 14. The whole world perished in the flood. Only three were saved at the destruction of Sodom, but they had the warning. Daniel and his three companions stood alone. But we should rejoice in the thought that the angels in heaven are sent to strengthen us, and we have not to fight our battles alone. Can't I be good without being religious? Religion helps children to study better and to do more faithful work. A little girl of 12 was telling, in a simple way, that she was a Christian. "I did not like to study, but to play,"
I was idle at school and often missed my lessons. Now I learn every lesson well to please God. I was mischievous at school when the teachers were not looking at me, making fun for the children to look at. Now I wish to please God by behaving well and keeping the school laws. I was selfish at home, didn't like to run errands, and was sulky when mother called me from play to help her in work. Now it is a real joy for me to help mother in any way and to show that I love her. Do you think I should go to church school? As far as possible, all our children should have a Christian education. What kind of school did Jesus go to when he was a boy? His, Jesus, education was gained from useful work, from the study of the Scriptures, from nature, and from the experiences of life, God's lesson books, full of instruction to all who bring to them the willing hand, the seeing eye, and the understanding heart. Spread out before him was the great library of God's created works. He who had made all things studied the lessons which his own hand had written in earth and sea and sky. He gathered stores of scientific knowledge from nature. He studied the life of plants and animals and the life of man. Every child may gain knowledge as Jesus did. Maybe that's why he did so much of his teaching outdoors. The fields and hills were the favorite resorts of Jesus, and much of his teaching was given under the open sky, rather than in the temple or the synagogues. No synagogue could have received the throngs that followed him, but not for this reason only did he choose to teach in the fields and groves. Jesus loved the scenes of nature. To him, each quiet retreat was a sacred temple. He loved to gather the people about him under the blue heavens on some grassy hillside or on the beach beside the lake. The things of nature take up the parables of our Lord and repeat his counsels. By communion with God in nature, the mind is uplifted and the heart finds rest.
I wish I could go to that kind of school. Who gives us the sunshine which makes the earth bring forth and bear? And who the fruitful showers? Every time we look at the world, we are reminded of the mighty hand of God. He might have made the grass brown or black, but God is a lover of the beautiful, and he has given us beautiful things upon which to look. We have no better lesson book than nature. The animals are to be teachers. The ants teach lessons of patient industry, and the birds are teachers of the sweet lesson of trust. Our Heavenly Father provides for them, but they must gather the food. They must build their nests and rear their young. Every moment they are exposed to enemies that seek to destroy them. Yet how cheerily they go about their work! How full of joy are their little songs! All the creatures of the woods and hills are a part of his great household. He opens his hand and satisfies the desire of every living thing. Are there some really beautiful nature scenes that you remember? We witnessed on our journey the most magnificent sunset we ever looked upon. The setting sun threw its golden rays upon the heavens, flecking the blue and white sky with its golden tints, illuminating the heavens. No artist could produce so grand a picture. We have seen the wonders of God in a gorgeous rainbow spanning the heavens. The reflection of the gold, purple, and silver upon the green mountains was a lovely sight. The power and wisdom of God can be seen in his works on every hand. In the olden days, did they ever plan special things for the youth, such as hikes or nature walks? Tasmania Camp Meeting, November 28th to December 9th, 1895. A very profitable series of Bible studies with the youth
was held each morning. There were about 20 in attendance. Children's meetings were held twice a day. After the morning lesson, on pleasant days, teachers and children took a long walk, and during the walk, by the banks of the river or in the grassy fields, a halt was called, and a short lesson from nature given. It was noticeable that on those days when the children had a ramble in the fields, they were very quiet and orderly in the camp. The attendance at the morning meetings, when only the children of the camp were present, was 30. In the afternoon, when the school children from the neighborhood came in, there were from 50 to 60. My father says yard work is good for me. If possible, the home should be out of the city, where the children can have ground to cultivate. Let them each have a piece of ground of their own, and as you teach them how to make a garden, how to prepare the soil for seed, and the importance of keeping all the weeds pulled out, teach them also how important it is to keep unsightly, injurious practices out of the life. Teach them to keep down wrong habits, as they keep down the weeds in their gardens. The farmer plows his land and sows his seed, but he cannot make the seed grow. He must depend on God to do that which no human power can do. Under his care, the germ of life breaks through the hard crust encasing it and springs up to bear fruit. As the children are told of the work that God does for the seed, they learn the secret of growth in grace. How are the records kept in heaven? Let children remember that day by day they are each forming a character, and that the features of this character are imprinted upon the books of heaven. God is taking pictures of his people, just as surely as an artist takes pictures of men and women. What kind of picture do you wish to produce? What kind of picture will the great master artist make of you in the records of heaven? We must decide this now. When death shall come, there will be no time to straighten the crooked places in the character. To us, this should be a most important matter. Every day, our likeness is being taken for time and for eternity. Let each one say, "I am having my likeness taken today." Ask yourself, how will my words sound to the heavenly angels? Are they as apples of gold in pictures of silver? Or are they like a blasting hail? Not only our words and actions, but our thoughts make up the picture of what we are. Then let every soul be good and do good. Let the picture made of you be one of which you will not be ashamed. God, help us to make our record what we would wish it to be in the heavenly record. Why do I have trouble and trials when I'm doing my best to follow and obey Jesus? Dear friends, be firm to truth and to duty. Trials may press closer and closer, but Jesus will lead you if you will let him. Pray much. Then, in the day of trouble, he will come to your deliverance and will hide you under the shadow of his wings. When your names are cast out as evil and friends turn against you, remember how Jesus was treated on earth. Can his followers expect better treatment than he received? How can I tell if I'll be strong enough to stand in the time of trouble?
God does not give us the spirit of the martyrs today, for we have not come to the point of martyrdom. He is now testing us by smaller trials and crosses. And at times, when it seems that the billows of temptation will go over our heads, let us remember that the eye of God is watching over us. And let us be willing to endure all the trials that he sees fit to send. Do you think the reward will be worth all the temptations and battles we go through? John in Holy Vision saw a company standing around the great white throne, every one of them having white robes. The question is asked, Who are these, and whence came they? And the answer is given. These are they which have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. If you want to be among this company, you must not study how you can escape trials in this life. Get your eyes fixed on Jesus. Christ gave his life for us, and now, if necessary, we should give our lives for him. We are his, for he has bought us, and we ought not to rob him of that for which he has made this infinite sacrifice. Will the gates of the city of God be closed against us, or shall we dwell with Jesus through eternity? We want to give to God all that there is of us. As you enter the school of Christ, you have lessons to learn. You are scholars. You must discipline yourselves. Be not easily disheartened or discouraged. Be valiant soldiers of the cross. Learn to endure hardness, and be not easily offended. Be not easily provoked or annoyed with little trials. When you have little difficulties to bear which seem hard, think of Jesus, the dear Savior, how he suffered and endured to save sinful mortals. Sister White, it's been wonderful talking to you. You make me want to live the kind of life Jesus wants me to live. Love truthfulness and honesty. These are sacred treasures. Do not lay them aside for a moment. You may be tempted and often tried, but it is at such a time when these lovely treasures shine and are highly prized. Cling closely to these precious traits, whatever you may be called to suffer. Let truthfulness and honesty ever live in your heart. Never, through fear of punishment, sacrifice these noble traits. The Lord will help you to do right. There is a work for you to do. May the Lord clearly open to your young mind the plan of salvation, and lead you to give yourself unreservedly to Jesus as his, to serve him continually. Come to him. Love him because he first loved you. Love him for his lovely character. Love him because he loved you well enough to die for you. Your questions have been answered. Your visits with Sister White have come to an end. You promise her that you will be faithful to God and his word, and that you will read the books she has written. But there is a beautiful place Jesus has gone to prepare. In that place, nothing will come to an end. In that place, you will want to become acquainted with your guardian angel. You will meet Jesus, who gave his life for you, face to face. And there you can renew your visit with God's servant, Sister White.